So then, right, I want to just point out after that, when he's giving like examples of the takes of LS, I know people aren't going to get this right, but what he does is called tone policing. It ain't even about the opinion. It's about like a certain way it was phrased or the word that you hit as the descriptor. So it's, you can tell even by the way he delivers it in this clip that it's like the idea that he says it's a shit champion or it's broken. Because he doesn't say it, he thinks it's a shit champion or it's broken at the moment. He's like, shit champion, like broken. Like, you can see the trigger words that are like forming the Pavlovian response in Cadrell's mind, presumably because he doesn't agree. And so when you say he thinks it's a good champion, and you just don't say, I don't think it's even a champion, it should be in the Metroid use, quite frankly, or it even fits the game right now, because you said it's shit. It's like, excuse me, sir. He's like that fucking James Franco, like, you know, that gif where he like stands up like that's what Cadrell was on. Like, mate, get out your feelings for a moment. How sensitive are you? Like, now, the reason why I'm saying this is, don't play that game, Cadrell. We just move the goalposts. So when LS says it's a shit champion, that's something outrageous, right? Have some fucking self-awareness, my G. Fuck out of here, little whore, with that angle. Because who are you, Cadrell? Who are you when you're on your broadcast and your stream? You're the guy going, that's illegal. Oh my God, he is smurfing. The game is lost. When he says the game is lost, he's even on his stream and in his VODs, I've seen it. Then 1 second later, like, respond to, I assume, Twitch chat, being like, what the fuck, the game's lost after you lose one buff, or like, you fucked up a camp, or you didn't get the path in right, or you didn't go for the scuttle crab. And he'll go, look, guys, I obviously don't mean the game's lost. What I mean is the team's in a losing position. Oh, that's fucking rich. Who are you, my dude? Who are you with your controversial takes? Why'd you say it was lost then? Did you say it to get money and attention and have people go, oh my God, and then have to discuss your takes? Oh, that's rich as fuck, isn't it? Ah, a little bit of self-awareness is kicking in here now, mate. I'm basically, for you, like a high dose of fucking peyote, and you're in the middle of the desert right now, and you've forgotten civilization, and we're just gonna go deep into your fucking psyche, and we're gonna show you who you are, and your inner darkness, mate, by talking about LS. And hopefully at the end of it, you come to some reflections and you maybe figure a few things out. Guess why you say it that way? Guess why LS says it that way? Because it fucking sells, because it's more entertaining, hence why you do it, hence why he does it, hence why I do it. But the opinion behind it is legitimate, and people just know that's hyperbole. Do you know what that word means? Go look it up. Hyperbole. By the way, your whole shit on camera as a personality involves hyperbole. And if you pretend you don't use that tool, you're just dishonest, mate. I have been taking active steps toward recovery, and I'm looking forward to putting in the work that will enable me to get back to the top of my game and be the best version of myself. All of these nonsense reports of me leaving the team are exactly that, nonsense. Now, what's interesting is, about a month later, on the 20th of January, he then did a tweet where he goes, currently working towards a safe return, but looking forward to getting back. Go Ninjas. The next tweet on his Twitter is 9 months plus later, him joining Astralis and returning. So he said, I'm currently working towards a shift, looking forward to getting back. Now, here's the problem. I would, if this was by the numbers, make the joke like, well, technically he was, and he did look forward to getting back to Astralis. But the problem is, because he put prayer hands, obviously it's actually supposed to be a high five emoji, but we all know that got wrecked by colloquialism. And he put hashtag Go Ninjas. That implies to play for NIP. He never played another map ever in his career for them, guys. Now, the rumour around the PGL Majors, so we're talking like spring period now, was, like I said, that Valdir devised complete Astralis. They have another chance to go. Nothing happened since then. Then you had Jackson for months and months, as far as I know, accurately reporting that he was trying to return. He was going to return. Astralis wanted him to return. NIP maybe wanted to sell him if it was for the right price. But then what was the price? And it was all going up and down. And then there was another mystery other buyer. Notice we've never had any inference as to who that other buyer was, by the way. I suspect, just going to put this out there, that was even potentially some nonsense that Astralis themselves put out there in the media, because, by the way, they're good at seeding certain journalists with information. I suspect they put that out there themselves to make their fans not go mental, like, why aren't you just paying whatever it takes for a device? Like, well, you know, we've got like a bidding war going on and someone else is bidding, and, oh, you know, like, this is another potential person. That's why it wasn't even like, oh, it has to go to Astralis. He's really prioritizing his priority. Like, give me a break, mate. You can't trust anything Astralis says. Like, the joke is, how do you know an Astralis exec's lying, his lips are moving, give me a fucking break. Not really surprising, that's a good way to like distract people with a little bit of fucking misdirection in it. Now, people, here's the key thing. Think how many times you've seen pro players complain about orgs treating them just like objects, just commodities, just cattle, just only caring about their value in terms of money, not respecting them as human beings, their dreams, their ambitions. What about what I'm trying to do in my career? This, you're cutting short my young career. Well, you know what? What about pro players wasting millions of dollars and euros of an org's money? What about an org buying a player and this being the centerpiece of your best opportunity to build another dynasty in Counter-Strike? And you even bringing in other pieces and parts, and they keep getting the vibe from this guy. I don't know what he told them, but the public communication was like, I'm coming back soon, guys. I'm just working on the end of the year. I'm going to try and recover new opportunities in 2022. I'm working to get back in January. Radio silence, radio silence, radio silence. Oh, it's October. I'm back home in Astralis. Back home in Australia. Like, what is that? What is that? See, my problem is this. When you tossed them away for what people could do online, but you didn't care what they did offline, you didn't care that they might be years away from being good offline, you didn't care that they might never be good offline, and you're gambling versus it's KDS, RPK, Flusher, MSL, whatever, whoever, Rain, all these people. No, ignore them. Get them out of here. There's no guarantee, guys, that when you take out Kenny S and Guardian, that Hades or OC or sometimes ever reach Kenny S and Guardian's level. But it's not impossible Kenny S and Guardian do. Are they totally done? Y'all all tell me they are. I'm bored of the eye test of fools. Basically, most of the industry, most of the players, most of the fans. You can have your own opinion. Type it in the comments section below. Have an argument with each other, like each other's things, up like that. Well, do what you want, but mate, I don't care. I've seen enough of this game to know. I think it's silly. That's why I think the general manager's really messed up the online period. The joke is, nowadays, it feels like esports is becoming whack, guys. It's not a sport. It's like everyone will talk about it. What about the country it's in and the culture? And what about their social, like, what about the fucking teams? You know, it's like six or seven of the best teams of the entire year meeting at one last massive event with loads of prize money. Like, I think that's a pretty big storyline. Am I missing something? Like, what? Like, aside from Heroic, who has a standard, that's the problem I have with the Liquid move. I think they've sort of made moves over the year, which have gradually gotten to the point like they are now, where they're like, what, let's say, like the sixth best team or the seventh best team in the world. The issue is, though, because they don't have, like, mega strengths anywhere, they're not that team that's like, well, we're sixth. Like in my opinion, this is what Outsiders was. Like, we're sixth, but like, hey, maybe we could win the event. Like, we did. I mean, they obviously did the miracle run, but that's the problem I have with Liquid at the moment is I actually even feel like everyone could have a different, like, the Nitro angle's a very valid one. He's a fucking terrible individual player, except for that one fucking series at Blast, just a temporarily boosted him. And then also, they're hardly getting props for an amazing fucking lead team. And then on top of that, you have every bloody interview, your Kindar's like, by the way, I had top man to breathe and Mark and chew bubblegum. Like, there's that as well. So, like, the problem with that one that I don't think everyone's thought through on Liquid is, if that is true, then it's making Nitro look even worse, you idiots. Like, the minimum we needed to do was, you guys just don't know what he's doing, and in the comms, you know, he's straight fire and he's calling everything right. It's us fucking it up. The saddest thing about Worlds for me is this. It could be the best, and it could be undisputed because the advantage League has. Like, no other game has the scope League of Legends does. The whole world plays League of Legends out of the major esports, and it doesn't play the major esports elsewhere. It has the infrastructure in League of Legends that no other big game does, in terms of how many domestic leagues there are that are fully developed and built into each other, how many massive esports orgs are involved, the investment from those orgs and people within the game dev, etc. It has the time and the production value no other game has. The production value's at a very high level, they just don't use it on much. Time, like I said, they have like days and days between playoff series. And the CSGO Major, you're playing every day of the fucking Major pretty much. In the teams like tournaments like TI, you can play two matches in a day. That's possible. So they don't make use of the time they have to enhance what they do have. And they don't make use of these elements, these things that would put them ahead and make them the best, due to the philosophy of like what the tournament represents. Well, it has to be one Korean team and one Chinese team only in each group. Oh, political stuff. What do we say about China and Taiwan? Are they? Oh, I don't know. Bloody hell. And the format. Oh, best of one makes it more exciting. And if an upset and an under, yeah, fuck you. The politics stuff. Like, people just don't get it. There are so many things, and most of them were just decided by Riot. They weren't problems. They created problems, then created another problem to solve their problem, which then means you have a different problem. Now, you could just go back, rewrite it, and just like these other tournaments, you could change all these factors and make this the best tournament in the world. Instead, it is the most overrated tournament and accomplishment in esports. Now, the reason why I'm making this branding and changing it and making it a full-on company is because I've worked in a number of companies around the world and with a number of companies across the continents, across the cultures of esports, and it doesn't matter what flavor, what bent, via what angle, they are always hindering creativity, limiting the vision and scope of what's possible, even capping earning potential and the ability to share in the profits of and companies and their valuations and equity and these sorts of things. And it is always done by mediocre minds who feel insecure and they have to control you and they have to keep you limited and you can't ever have an idea that was your idea. They have to take credit for it, or it has to be something that they don't feel supersedes them or changes what they've done with their brand. It's all short-term thinking. It's people who are too scared, who, well, quite frankly, are incapable of looking further into the future. And they absolutely do not understand that famous saying, you can shear a sheep many times, but you can skin it only once. And so what they do is they just skin the sheep and then they move on and they get the next sheep. And they don't care in the long term about the health of the sheep and the flock. They just hope that in the short term, they can keep selling those hides. So it's all been, for me, about choosing the right people, because the last few years have been such a blessing to me in this industry at filtering out all the companies, people and modes of work that I don't want to be involved with. I don't want to partner with. I do not want to promote and help. I'm sick of cowards. I am disgusted by outraged mongers. And I am just so fucking bored of the obnoxiously woke. I want, and I've got, people who understand it's not about just a day rate or working with the big brand or short-term benefits of being associated, because those same companies will use you up, they will play you against your fucking friends, and then they will unceremoniously throw you away. And when you look and see that happen to the person before you and you go, well, they must have done something, they must have provoked him, that won't be me, you won't realize it will be you, and it is going to be, and it might already be you, you just don't know it yet.
So, now, I'm a baller, a visionary, and a hard worker, so you can imagine I'll always get by in esports. But at the same time, I very much appreciate the people who support me, such as Matt Pugnacio Rakula, Ahmed Haju, Tosh, Butt Pounder 420, Animosity, Token, Tobias Bernasconi, Kovacevic, Jensen Gore, and as always, special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to suggest a topic or a guest that will appear on my content? Do you want to ask a question in my monthly AMA? Maybe you want teasers, find out who the upcoming guests are for some reflections or interview content. Or do you want to be one of those nerds asking me questions, talking about the old days and new things and all those long, lengthy, topical discussions that I do? Well, if any of those tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? Via the Patreon link in the description box.